Well, you're going to be glad you came today, because this is the racy part of the story, okay? I bet some of you read ahead, didn't you? Well, to give a little background for those who may not have been a part of our preaching about Ruth through Lent, in the beginning, Elimelech and Naomi left their home in Bethlehem, went to Moab with their two sons. In Bethlehem, there was famine. In Moab, there was plenty. But then, after the two sons marry Moabite women, the husband and both the sons are killed. And Naomi is left with her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. She tries to talk sense to them to stay there, stay where they are, because she knows if she takes them home, they won't be accepted and their descendants won't be accepted for 10 generations. Orpah shows good sense and stays, but Ruth refuses. Wherever you go, I'm going to go, she says. Where you live, I will live. Your God will be my God, your people my people. Where you die, I'll die. There I'll be buried. Naomi has no choice. Ruth follows her, and the implication is that Naomi doesn't even speak to her on the way. By the time she gets back to Bethlehem, she's changed her name, Naomi has, because Naomi means pleasant. She's changed it to Mara, bitter, because she feels that God has dealt bitterly with her. These two widows have no visible means of support. They're forced to go on the equivalent of the Israelite welfare system, gleaning. The rule in the Torah was that when you harvested a field, anything that fell into the field, you could not lean down and pick up. It belonged to God, which means it belonged to the poor. You could not harvest the corners of the field because those too belong to God, which means they belong to the poor. And so, as a way of providing at least some sustenance for those who would go without otherwise, they were allowed to come through the field after the harvesters had passed and pick up what was left behind. That's what Ruth was doing. A very precarious way to live. Until the owner of the field, a man named Boaz, takes notice of Ruth. He's heard of her. He's heard of the kindness. Now, that word kindness, you may recall, if you were here, is chesed. It is God's loving kindness, God's never-ending love. And that's the word that is used for Ruth's kindness to Naomi. And Boaz is impressed by that. He offers her some measure of protection. He said, just glean in my fields, and just glean with my women harvesters, follow behind them, and you'll be safe. And then he instructed his women harvesters to drop a little extra in the field so that Naomi and Ruth would have enough. When Ruth gets home, she begins to tell Naomi about her experience gleaning in the fields and about this wonderful man, Boaz, who is some relative of Naomi's late husband, Elimelech. And as soon as she hears that Ruth has met a relative of her late husband and that he's taken a liking to Ruth, the wheels begin to turn. She sees a way to end welfare in her time for them. So she tells Ruth, when the harvest is finished, Boaz is going to be sleeping on the threshing floor to protect his harvest, to protect the grain. When he's there, you put on your nicest dress, put on your perfume, your Chanel number 5, or maybe My Sin. You see, this is what they do in that culture at the end of mourning or in preparation for a wedding. Is it the end of mourning for her dead husband? Is it the end of mourning for the terrible circumstances they have lived with? Is it the beginning of the possibility of her actually being married to this man? Now, the next advice that Naomi gives her is really not very good advice. I would not want this advice given to my daughters, for example. She said, now, when he's there, after he's finished eating and drinking, and it wasn't Coca-Cola she was talking about drinking, when he's in a jovial mood, you go and you lie down next to him and you uncover his feet. To lie with someone could mean just to sleep there, or it could mean to sleep in a very intimate entanglement, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to be delicate here, okay? This story is not very delicate. It could mean just to lie there, or it could mean to, you know. Feet also can mean just those appendages at the ends of your legs. Or feet is also used to describe Hebrew genitalia. So we're not sure exactly how much of Boaz she's instructing her to uncover. Okay? Not good advice, in my opinion. She is a Moabite woman. Boaz, being a man, being an Israelite, could take advantage of her, and there would be no consequences for him. But she goes, and she does exactly what Naomi tells her to do. When he's eaten, when he is in a contented mood, it says, has fallen asleep, Ruth, in her finest dress, with her perfume, goes, lies down next to him, and uncovers his feet. Apparently, she uncovered enough that he got cold and woke up. And when he woke up, he's startled because here is this other person next to him in the dark of the threshing floor. And he says, who in the world are you? And she tells him. And she makes two requests, all in one sentence. She says, take your cloak and put your cloak over your servant. She's asking him to marry her. She is proposing, okay? That's a pretty bold thing for that time. Then she finishes the sentence by saying, for you are the next of kin. Now, that gets translated a lot of different ways. Some folks translate it kinsman redeemer. However, in any case, she is asking him to marry her, but she's also asking him to redeem Elimelech's land, to take that land back into the family, and to take Naomi, to redeem Naomi as well. Now, that word redemption is kind of slippery because we as Christians tend to think of it in metaphorical terms, in terms of what Jesus did, and that is indeed redemption, but its root meaning is very practical. It's keeping the land in the family. It's keeping the name going through the family, which was very, very important. In fact, some of you will be old enough to remember, and I won't make you raise your hands, green stamps, and going to the store, and with the purchase, you would get these stamps, and you would lick the back of them. That's when we still licked stamps. I know it sounds a little primitive to young folks, but we would lick them and put them in a book. And when we had enough of them, we would redeem them at the redemption center for toasters and whatever we needed. The meaning of redemption in this story is much more aligned with that understanding than it is with the more metaphorical understanding that we Christians have attributed to it later, okay? But these women are desperate. Ruth and Naomi are desperate. Without a connection to some man in that time, they were destined, if not to starve, at least to live on a bare subsistence by gleaning. And Ruth lays it all on the line. She basically risks everything, and when she does, it's not just for herself. It's for Naomi as well. When I was growing up, there were these ads for Boys Town that was founded by a Catholic priest, Father Flynn, I believe. And in the drawing, there was a teenage boy with a smaller boy on his back, and the caption underneath thread said, "He's not Heavy Father, he's my brother." He wasn't just doing this for himself. These two young men who had no place to go, no one to turn to, except this agency, he was bringing his brother on his back. Now, while Ruth is not carrying Naomi on her back, literally, in a figurative sense, she certainly is. Without Ruth's stepping up and risking being abused and left behind, being sent away, and Boaz giving her no more extra food, he could have chosen either of those things. But instead, he says, this kindness, this hesed, this reflection of God's loving kindness is even greater than that which you've shown Naomi. You didn't run after these young, good-looking men. You came to a man who had a little gray in his beard. I like that part. Actually, that's not in the scripture. I added that. But it should have been. And he makes a promise. Because you see, there's a complication. He is not the closest next of kin. Now, in that world, the closest next of kin to Elimelech would be able to redeem the land, would be able to take Naomi into his household. Now, the difficulty here, of course, is he would have to take Ruth, too. But we're not sure at this point if this is going to work out. It doesn't matter how many promises Boaz makes. If he can't talk that closer relative into giving up his rights, this whole thing has come undone. So all the way through this story, one time after another, Naomi and Ruth are on the verge of being without any help at all, any sustenance at all, with no guarantees, and they still are. Because Boaz cannot guarantee that he can make that other relative give up his rights. If he can't, he can marry Ruth, I suppose. But that's not what she's asking. She's asking for him to provide a place on the earth, a place of safety, a place of care for both of them. So the story kind of leaves us hanging, even yet, doesn't it? Will Boaz be able to convince that closer relative to give up his rights so that Boaz can actually redeem Naomi and Ruth and the land? After the rights are given up, will they be able to get married? If they're married and have offspring, will it take 10 generations for those offspring to be accepted in the community? Well, to find that out, you're going to have to come back next week for the continuing story of Ruth and Naomi.